I have to be careful because I'll probably start to cry, because the topic that I'm going to talk about tonight, or this afternoon, I guess, is very dear to my heart, because I've had a battle and a journey that, you know, that my walk that God provided and made for me to appreciate the things that He's left for me to understand and to see and to seek. It's very interesting. The reason that I've, like I said, that I'm bringing this topic forward is very personal to me. Because over the years, I've had many people come up to me and say, you don't have to keep the law, and the law is something that's done away with. But when you look at, the law hasn't changed. It has been fulfilled, Matthew 5:17, verse 18. But I had people come up to me and say, well, I believe it has been fulfilled. It's all been fulfilled. Have you ever read Revelation? Have you ever read Galatians? Have you ever read some of the prophets? Isaiah? Zephaniah? Zechariah? There's a lot of things yet to be fulfilled. Everything has not been fulfilled. And a lot of times when we think about it, was Isaac the promised child? Yes, he was. But did he fulfill everything? Wasn't he a picture of something yet in the future? God works in manifold ways. And when He applies a principle and love and companionship to each and every one of us, there's always layers. Always layers. There's always something more in the future. When we look at the Passover meal that we have, and we think about the Passover, and we think, well, that's been fulfilled. But in reality, there's still things to be fulfilled yet that the Passover is picturing. How about the kingdom? How about when everybody's resurrected? Christ was resurrected. We are to be resurrected like He was in the full glory of His glory. It has not been fulfilled yet. We have a lot more to accomplish in this life. What do you think we're here for? When, you know, when I look at some of the things that we have to endure, they are nothing compared to what our Messiah had to endure. Why did He endure those things? Because He knew. And He wanted. His heart is not willing that any should perish, but all should taste of eternal life. It's very interesting. Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one dot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. All be fulfilled. I was just showing you some of the things in the Scripture that haven't been fulfilled yet. Has your resurrection occurred yet? Have you been glorified? Have you seen Him coming in the clouds yet? Interesting. I guess I have in a vision, but that's got to be something yet in the future. The marriage supper of the Lamb needs to be fulfilled yet. The Passover is a picture of that. That meal. He says, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until I drink it again with you in the kingdom. Interesting. Why is that so important? Because He doesn't want to leave one child out of His kingdom. Very interesting. Whosoever shall therefore break one of the least of these commandments shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Least in the kingdom of heaven. The same shall be, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What a contrast. Does that sound like the law is done away with? That we no longer have responsibility to our Creator God? It's not what He's saying, is it? Some things that have been fulfilled, that were prophesied in the Scriptures, born of a woman, Genesis 3:15, I will put envy between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Interesting. Galatians 4:4. But when the fulfillment of time has come, God sent his Son, made a woman under the law. See, that was fulfilled. It was prophesied that he was going to come. But is that everything? Is that everything? I said, is that everything? There's more to come. That's right. Of the seed of Abraham. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience is important. Matthew 1:1. The book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Interesting. Sometimes, I have in the past given a sermon on Abraham, and I've realized, still, even meditating on that sermon, there's a lot we need to understand. Not to make Abraham a god, but without Abraham's response, we would not be here. It's interesting. He raised his knife to his beloved son, which is a picture of the Messiah. Was all fulfilled when he was sacrificed? I said when he was sacrificed. Yeah, you say, well, Frank, he wasn't killed. Oh, yes, he was in the heart of Abraham. What is that picture? I've often said, we don't realize the sacrifice that the Father made when he gave his beloved son, whom he was well pleased. What happened? Was his heart rent? Was his emotions tore apart? But know what? He had you in mind the same as Christ did you in mind. That's how why he did it. His only begotten son. His beloved son. He gave that sacrifice. What is your sacrifice? What is mine? Are we any different? Has God put us in a category that we don't want to follow in his footsteps? Or has God placed us in the blessing and the opportunity to present ourselves a living sacrifice? Not something that is dead, but alive and active, participating in love of our fellow brethren. I'm so glad to see you here today because of all the differences in our belief systems. We're still all children of God. We need to love one another, not condemn, but to cherish, to nurture. Who here among us has all truth? Nobody, just our Messiah. He's among us, but he has all truth. But we don't. We're supposed to grow, learn, and overcome. Overcome what? Our human nature. The one that wants to exalt itself above others, as we sang the song here about the king was raised up and signed a decree. Send him in prison in the lion's den. Would we stand up? That's the question. Does it make a difference what you or I do? It does to God. Each and every individual in the room, it makes a difference what you do. How you present your sacrifice to God. What is your heart? Oh, I'm coming here so that I may have eternal life? Or are you coming here because of the love of your Father? And you want to bounce on his knee? And you want to be with the rest of the family out of love and compassion. What is your heart? Oh, yes. Abraham had a heart. Because in Genesis 26:5, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my statutes and my commandments and my laws. That's why all nations of the earth are blessed in him. Because he did something. Did you realize you have a responsibility to bless all nations in the earth? Your calling? When you're in the kingdom, you're going to be kings and priests. What does a priest do? Lord over somebody? What's the example that our Savior gave us? What was it? What?
Loving each other.
Give of your life for somebody else. Oh, but that person offended me. I'm not going to wash his feet or whatever. Don't want to sit by him in church. Really? You know who's getting the most hurt out of that? You are. Forgiveness is something that we have to do in order to the kingdom of God. Just like our Messiah forgave us. He came to us yet while we were still sinners. We were still sinners. Think back when you were called. I think back when I was first called. I was probably about 3 years old. But when I think about it, the instant of what God had done, how he has opened the door to me, little old piece of clay, a young child, and showed me some truths. Not everything, but some things. I had to have respect for my parents. He showed me that. I had to have respect for my neighbors. He showed me that. I had to have respect for myself, which was hard to do because I didn't have a very good opinion of myself. It's interesting. But through Christ, I can do all things. Look what it says. Psalms 2:1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break these bands asunder and cast their cords from us. That's what our human nature loves to do. We have a battle to fight within our hearts. The battle has been won. We just have to submit to what he tells us to do, to follow his instructions, not our hearts. Acts 2:25. Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Stood up against him. What side of the line are you on? I remembered when I was first baptized, Satan came after me. A lot of demonic forces. And I sat down and talked with the minister, and the minister says, you know, God has drawn the line. You were over here, but now you're over here. And Satan doesn't like it. So if Satan don't like it, that's a beautiful thing. Do you understand that? That's God telling you you're doing the right thing because he's allowing Satan to come against you. And boy, was I attacked. And I imagine a lot of you were too. In fact, I was even told that I was hated. We need to take comfort in some of those things when we are attacked by the satanic forces and the battle that we're in. Because look what will happen. Will not leave his soul in hell. Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Mark 16:6. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Why was the stone rolled back? Because he didn't need the stone rolled back for the resurrection. Why was it rolled back? It was rolled back so that we could see the empty tomb. Interesting. There's a lot of parallels we could draw there. Because the stone, our Savior is a stone, the chief cornerstone. He gave his life to open that tomb that you and I may be resurrected. Interesting. He is risen. Take comfort in that fact. Is that all there's to it? Again, is everything all fulfilled because the tomb was empty? No. Hank says no, it wasn't. There's more to be fulfilled yet. There's this layers again in the resurrection. A firstborn of many brethren. Many brethren. Brethren? You mean I'm a brother of Christ? Wow. Where does that put me? Puts me in the family of God. Did I deserve it? No. Because He loved. Because the Father loved. Will I have vinegar to drink? Or will I have vinegar to drink? Psalm 69:21. They gave him also gall for meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Have you ever drank vinegar straight? Yeah, some have not. Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I had a doctor tell me that I had to drink a full glass of that every day for a period of time. Pure, unwatered. So I know what vinegar tastes like. You know, and so when you look at that, that's not a pleasant thing. In Matthew 27:48, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Interesting. What does that have to do with anything? Does that fulfill everything? Don't we realize how bad sin tastes? Don't we realize that vinegar is really a healing agent as well? Interesting, isn't it? There's a lot going on just in that alone. False witnesses speak against him. Have you ever had any false witnesses speak against you? Well, I have. I'm sure you have. Telling lies about you. You know what so-and-so did? The crazy individual went on, didn't do any work on a certain day of the week. Wasn't that dumb? He could have been making overtime. Interesting. I'm sure you've all had experiences with the Sabbath day, too. On my job, I was fired 4 and 5 times a day sometimes. Imagine that. 4 and 5. Just because I wanted to keep the Sabbath. Then I had my foreman came to me and says, you know, I like you as an individual, but I just can't stand your religion. Excuse me? That's what makes me who I am. My belief in the scriptures. That's who I am. But I'm sorry, but that's what you get. Well, maybe I'm not sorry, but that's what you get. It's interesting, isn't it? They can pass me about also with words of hate, fought against me without a cause. Without a cause. Interesting. In Luke 23:1, and the whole multitude of them rose and led him up to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. I want to give you a little background. This is not Bible, but it's background. I don't know if you're familiar with the Arcole volumes or not, but it's interesting. In actuality, when you look at it from the Gentile perspective, so to speak, what really is taking place here? Do you realize that Pontius Pilate, in his statement, he said, you know, I protected him. He spoke highly of Caesar in his letter to Caesar. That's what he said. And here they're saying he spoke against Caesar, but he spoke highly of it. He said, render unto things that are Caesar's. Interesting. He gave honor. And he had literally sent troops to protect him while he was speaking, because he knew these enemies were after him. Interesting. So we don't hear that in the scriptures, but it's interesting. That's from his point of view in the letter that he wrote to Caesar. He gave him honor. Shook their heads. Well, that's what happened to me in my job there. A lot of them shook their heads. Psalms 109, verse 25. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Have you had anybody shake their head at how you keep and worship God? Probably some of us have done it to one another here because we're on different calendars and so forth. It doesn't. That's not the way to live our life. God will take care of that problem. Maybe it's you that's going to have to change. You don't know. He's going to take care of it. Our job is to love one another and to cherish one another and uphold one another. Hebrews 1:3. Who being in the brightness of his glory, expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Sometimes I don't think we fully comprehend what that really means. Stop and think for a moment. We get the prophecies of what we're going to look like at the resurrection in the book of Revelation, where it talks about we're going to be like him. But do you and I understand what it was like for him to take off the glory that he had and walk around in the flesh? You want to talk about humility. What humility that was. What a caring, loving individual. I'm reminded of a story. This is a true story, in fact. But anyway, there was this man that wanted to protect the birds from a snowstorm that was coming. And he's out there and he's trying to get him into his barn. He couldn't get him into the barn, and he's getting frustrated and spending hours trying to get him into the barn. He couldn't get him in there. And finally, he just dropped to his down and he says, you know, if I could just be one of them, I could speak to them and they could understand me. That's what our Savior did. One of them. He gave up that glory. There's a scripture that says, a little lower than the angels, for the tasting of death. He didn't have to die. Or did he? Interesting. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So he did have to, if he loved us and helped us to be part of his kingdom. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. And Acts 4:11. This stone which is set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. I don't want to get off too far to sidebar, but when we look at the principle of a stone, do you understand, do I understand what it really means when he makes that statement? The stone? Which the head cornerstone, which they rejected. They rejected. I'm a builder, and I'm going to inform you a little bit about building things. You have to have a good foundation. If you don't, the building comes down some form or another, or sags and creaks and groans. You've got to have it. But we're not just talking about a foundational stone. We're talking about a chief cornerstone. We're talking about the main structure. Just as an sidebar, did you know that the Great Pyramid is built upon about the only place on the earth that the soil could sustain that kind of weight? It's also built with little shock absorbers on the corners. Some engineering feat. But why would it be placed there? Because There's a lot of weight to carry. Our Messiah carried a lot of weight in each and every one of our sins. The scripture brings out the fact that he sweat blood. I've done a little scientific research on that. I'll tell you what. When you're under enough stress, your sweat glands actually bleed. And some people say, well, he was lacking faith because he had that kind of stress. No, that's not the case. He's carrying the weight of all the sins of the world, all the way from Adam to the final resurrection. All of them. And he knew what that meant. And his love and his heart, he says, remember, he says, take this cup from me if it be possible, but not my will, but thy will be done. Can we say that when we're in our trials and tribulations? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? A lot going on. Made his grave with the wicked. That's a statement that's kind of just out there. Yeah, we understand he died. But he made his grave with the wicked. He didn't have to die. The wages of sin is death. He never sinned. So he put his grave, or made himself a grave with the wicked. That's what the grave is for. Interesting. Didn't have to. Isaiah 53:9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. He didn't try to cover up what he was doing, per se, to your harm. He openly spoke to them. Do you understand? He openly spoke to them that he must die. And after that, the resurrection. He openly said it, but they didn't get it, did they? They literally didn't believe it until they saw the empty tomb. And then they didn't know what to believe. Do you and I have to wait to see the empty tomb? Or can we believe because somebody said so? That somebody being our Messiah. The tomb was empty. Some say, well, there was no sin covering before his crucifixion. Are you kidding me? What did he do as soon as Adam sinned? He killed an animal. I think it was a lamb, but I don't know for sure, because I haven't found anything to really clarify that without doubt. What did he do? He made a sacrifice. For what reason? Because of sin. And what did he do? He made a covering out of an animal skin, which is a picture of him covering our sins. By his stripes we are healed. A lot going on then, that statement. Why? Why was it necessary that he be beaten? Because we sin? And that is why he had to be beaten. Because of our sins. Every time, I want you to think about this, when they tell you that you don't have to longer keep the law, every time you break the law of God, you're beating on him with those cat and nine tails and ripping the skin off his flesh. It's demanding that he forgives you. That law is that important to God. He was willing to take that beating. Interesting. When Joseph had taken the body, verse 59, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. That's very important. Very important. Just a statement, but it's a very important statement. Clean linen cloth. Linen pictures the works of righteousness. Clean means without a spot. That's what they wrapped him in. Interesting. And they laid him in a new tomb which had never had been hewn out of, in a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Does that ring a door? Does that ring a door? Or a doorbell? Can you remember what it says in Revelation? I am the door. There is no other. I'm the only one. There's no other door. So that stone that covered that door was picturing him. But it was rolled away. He gave us the opportunity, access. Does it look like the law is done away with? No. Still going on. Malachi 5:1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon his cheek. There's a scripture in Isaiah where it talks about the fact that some of his beard was even ripped out. That's what they, I think that's a pretty good smiting with a rod. Matthew 27:30. They sped upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Interesting. Why would it be important, prophetic wise, that he had to be smoten on the head? You smite the shepherd and the sheep will flee. Interesting. He was the head, the chief cornerstone. Raised from the dead, Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Acts 2:27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Sounds the same, don't it? The word corruption, that's another whole sermon, but we start thinking about that in the aspect of what's being spoken of here. Neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. See, a lot of times we kind of look over the scripture that talks about the fact that Joseph of Arimathea actually put some oil and stuff on him and anointed him. And also we skip over the fact that the lady cried and washed his feet with her tears and dumped oil on his feet for his burial. A lot of that has to do with the fact that he shall not see corruption. He said, she's done this for my burial. For my burial. Interesting. Riding upon a donkey. Rejoice greatly. I smile at this one because there's a lot going on in my mind, I guess. But, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh upon thee. He setteth, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt and a foal of an ass. Why is that so important? Why did he come in like that? Why didn't he come in riding a big Cadillac or golden chariot as Pharaoh would have done? Didn't do that. Because he's a servant. He was serving. And he came in as a servant. Interesting. Let's see the next page. John 12:13. He took branches of palm, or he took branches of the palm trees and went to meet him and cried, or Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereupon, as it is written, fulfilling prophecy, as it is written, fear not, the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh sitting upon an ass's colt. Now, why is that important? Again, we think about it from, I guess, with a farm background. If agriculture, a lot of people here know about agriculture. Why is that important? Because this ass was not trained to be ridden. It wasn't trained to be ridden. And you know what happens when you get on something like that? I believe you me, I know. I used to try to ride calves, about 500-600-pound calves when I was a kid. They didn't like it. They bucked and they ran and they jumped and they kicked and they turned in circles and everything else and even bunted at you. This was unusual. Never been ridden. And just brought him in. Interesting. Do we buck and do we kick when our Messiah asks us to do something? Oh, but, you know, my boss told me I can't go. I'm going to lose my job. Well, if I'd done that 50 years ago, let me tell you, I probably wouldn't be Sabbath keeper today. It's interesting. Because I had a lot of bucking and kicking going on in my bosses over the years. It's very interesting, and you probably have too. Where's your commitment? Where's my commitment? When God says something, does He mean it? Or do we say, oh, well, He's a gracious God. He'll understand. I got the T-shirt. I said that a few times in my life. But you know what? It never worked. They always came against me worse. And finally, when I just stood up and said, I will not have this, I'm not going to work on this day, or I'm going to go to the feast, whatever it was, I didn't have a problem no more. Oh, I had the words, but the door was open that I could accomplish what God wanted me to do with my life. Did you catch what I just said? What God wanted me to do with my life. What does God want you to do with His life? He wants obedience, not sacrifice. He wants obedience. Disobedience is like witchcraft. Do you want to practice witchcraft when it comes to God? Or do you want to follow Him and do the work that He asked you to do? And present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, a lot of us say, well, my boss said this, or my wife said this, or my kids said this, or my husband said this. If I do this, they're going to leave me, they're going to do this. Go then! As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So Joshua said. Silver thrown down in the temple. That's what I'm talking about, whether you realize it or not. We always go after something that we want instead of what God wants. And when it comes right down to the pushing and the shoving, we just throw it down and we realize that wasn't worth it. When the resurrection comes along and you're standing there crying and wailing because you didn't do what you were asked to do, then what? That silver ain't going to be worth a thing. Or the praise of others is not going to be worth a thing. The persecution that you bore and stood up for God, that's what's going to count. The holy, righteous character that God produced in you. That God produced in you. I get kind of excited once in a while. Maybe you noticed that, but when I look at the principles that God has opened, I mean the wonderful works that He's done, what it took that you and I can actually enter the kingdom of God and to be there. And all He's asking is obedience. That's all. No more, no less. And then when we do slip up, He's willing to pick us up and carry us. That's all He wants. He wants you in the kingdom. Each individual here, He would love to have everyone here in the kingdom of God. That's His heart and His desire. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Grace comes because why? We need it. We messed up. Supplications, that's what I'm trying to do here today in a way. To come out there and plead with you to follow the kingdom, to the kingdom, our Savior's path that He blazed for us. It wasn't just a game to him. It was heartfelt love, compassion, and joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, that's a hard thing to do, I know. But that's what he says to do. So we got to at least attempt to try it. Try the shoe on. Maybe it'll fit. You might be surprised how good it fits. Let me tell you this. It feels so good when you see Satan flee. It does. I've seen people just fall backwards because they were coming against God. It's interesting. It makes you feel like God's with you. It doesn't matter who comes against you. It's Daniel in the lion's den. Here, kitty, kitty. That's pretty cute. Think about that for a moment. Do we say that to our enemies? Those that want to devour us? A soft answer turns away wrath. That's what it does, according to the Word of God. Let's read the rest. Well, let me read it again. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Did you catch it? We're talking about the Father's sacrifice here. How he carried that mournful. Why it was so burdensome for him to have to give his son whom he loved. But on the other hand, how joyful it was when he realized what he was doing. He was opening the door for the rest of us. Interesting, isn't it? When I say that, a lady came to me after a sermon one time and she says, you want me to think about what you just said, don't you, when you say that? I said, yeah, I do. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I want you to think about it. Don't just hear the word, but let it sink in a little bit. Let it touch you. And another, it says, the scripture says, that they looked upon him whom they had pierced. How do we pierce him? How do we pierce him? I asked the question. Where did the sword go into his body? The spear. Where did it go? Anybody?
His side.
His side. What's in his side? What's in my side here? What's there? My heart. It was pierced. Who did the piercing? You and I. When we sin, that's what we do. We pierce him in his heart. But what was his response? Go ahead. It's prophesied. Why? So that we could have eternal life. It opened the door of his heart for you and I so we could enter in. Interesting. Zechariah 13:7. Smite the shepherd. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my follower, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Why is it necessary for God to smite the shepherd? Why was it necessary? I'm asking these questions. I want you to think about it. Why is it necessary that we flee? They did, you know. Why? Human nature. Human nature is the one that wants to run away and have this smooth journey. So smooth into the kingdom of God with the loving hands of God. It's interesting. There's a lot more to the story, isn't it? I will smite the shepherd. Well, the shepherd shows us who the Messiah was in prophecy, right? We're reading it here. That's what they did. Literally fulfilled that prophecy. And they were scattered abroad. Isaiah 53:12, numbered with transgressors. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Oh, did you catch that? With the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sins of many, as I was bringing out before. We don't really realize every time we sin what we do to our Savior. I don't care how many thousand years we live after him. He still has to bear those sins that we commit. If nothing else today, get that message in your heart that what you do, as far as God's law is concerned, affect him greatly. Greatly. If you're using the Spirit to prick him in his heart, is that what you want to do? Or would you rather use love to prick him in his heart and follow him out of love and compassion? Interesting. Mark, again, I said interesting, didn't I? Think about it. Mark 10:32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. Jesus went before them. And they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to teach them the things that should happen unto him. It wasn't like they weren't taught, but they still scattered. We're taught. Every Sabbath day we're taught. Every holy days we're taught. Do we drink in? Do we let that message become a part of us? Do we hold on to it? Or do we let it fall to the ground? The precious seed of the truth of God. You know, again, I'll probably give you a little agriculture education, but if you just throw a seed on the ground and the conditions aren't right, it just rots. It does not produce any fruit. It just becomes fertilizer for the next crop. Do we want to be the fertilizer for the next crop? No, we want to produce seed. We want to fall upon that ground as the sower of the seed. And the parables goes, go read it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Read it. It's talking about God's people. I said God's people. Even those that fall by the wayside. They're still his people. His children. He doesn't want them to fall by the wayside. He wants us to have those roots that go down in the good fallow ground where the air is and the nutrients is. That's what the word of God is. That's our nutrients. That's why we are to eat during the days of unleavened bread. The truth of God, our very Savior. That's who he is in personality. Verse 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests. Unto what? The chief priests and unto the scribes. That's the educated ones and not men in power. And they shall condemn him to death. So if you think your intellect, or if I think my intellect or all my brain power, which is none, make it to the kingdom. No, that's not going to do it. This is what we're going to do. Romans 8:7. The carnal mind was envy against God, and isn't subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Can't be. Got to get rid of that. Bring that sacrifice of praise and honor to our God. Get rid of that idea of carnal thinking. And they shall mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he will rise again. What a blessing. What a blessing. I have a heartfelt message in the book of Hebrews. I think it's chapter 12. I wanted to bring out some of those things. I don't have it up on the screen because I tend to go into the preaching mode, I guess. But we look at the principle here, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have a compassion about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This is our witnesses. We read how they lived their lives, and those that followed God, and those that screwed up. Witnesses. What's a witness do? Tells us what took place, right? Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Oh, but I can't do that because I got this or the other excuse. I'm just flesh. And God knows that I'm just flesh. Yeah, He knows that. That's why He came. But He doesn't want to leave you there. He's endowed you with power to follow Him in spite of what the world does to you or me. Stand up. Stand up for what? For yourself? No, for Him. For Him. That's what you're doing it for. You're standing up for Him. And somebody comes along and tells you the law is done away with, you can say, no, it's not. It is just as powerful today as it was yesterday. In some ways, more powerful because we are supposed to have the Spirit of God. Right? Let us lay aside every weight. The sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Each and every one of us has a journey or a pathway to the kingdom of God. That's a pathway that He chose for you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He's given you opportunity to stand up for God. If you have a commitment to God and following His laws, then do it. Don't just say, well, I should do it. I know what to do, but I'm not going to do it because I'm just this weak, carnal individual. No, you're not in Jesus Christ. You have more than that. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Once He started that work, He's going to finish it. It's something that you and I need to understand. When we get in a situation where it seems way too much to bear. For you or I, it is. But for Him, it's not. We need to learn to give it to Him. Author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God along with our Savior? Do what Christ did. What did He do? He didn't sin. Interesting. Verse 3. For consider Him that endureth such condemnation of sin against Himself, lest He waned and fainted. We're talking about our Savior. How did He survive? Because He had you on His mind. And I want to say that personally. He had you on His mind. Because He wants you in the kingdom. But that's your job to work at following the laws of God. Interesting.
All right.
Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Remember I opened up children of God? As unto children. He's pleading with you and I today in His Word. This is why we have the Passover. We are to examine ourselves. And we are also to examine Him. Did you think about it from that point of view? He's perfect. I just went through Scripture showing you that He fulfilled what He said needed to be fulfilled in His first coming. He did. But there's more to the story. Some of you probably don't know who Paul Harvey is, but now you know the rest of the story. Open your hearts and glean in the understanding that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pick up your sword and follow Him. Think not that I've come to bring peace on this earth. I come to bring a sword. That's what He said. What is a sword? We've been going over some of those things. The Word of God is the sword. And our culture comes along and tells us, you know, if you're raised in the Bible, you had too harsh a child rearing. You've been too hard. If a counselor comes to you and tells you your past life is hard because you followed the Bible, then you're an idiot for following the Bible. That's what they do. Do you understand that? That's what they do if they don't. Even if they're a Christian culture, they'll say that because they don't believe the law of God still in effect today. But it is. I'll give you a little more insight in this. I'll probably quit. But I was told, talking about my pathway, that the law was done away with. So go and read the book of Zechariah and the book of Galatians, especially the book of Galatians, because that'll prove to you that the law is done away with. I listened to 5 hours of tapes tearing the book of Galatians apart and saying that that proves that the law was done away with. When I got done with that, I went to my wife and I said, I've got to read Psalms 119. I sat there with tears in my eyes and read Psalms 119 all the way through. Because the law of God is so precious. Satan's the one that wants to destroy it. God wants you to raise it up in your hearts and your minds and understand just how precious it is. It's something so precious that all the wealth in the world cannot compare to that wealth. The idea of keeping the law of God. The law of God is so precious that it converts the soul. What does that do? That brings you into the family of God. And it brings you forth with fruit in abundance, not a seed rotten on the ground and being choked out by Satan and the weeds and the tares around you, telling you that the law of God is done away. It's not. I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Bible, the law of God is working and powerful today. It's not removed from us. So if nothing else, the message that you've heard today, remember that law is very special. And it is a blessing to be able to be a part of that journey. Thank you.